Pesach. As we know, Pesach is right around the corner, so we have to get ourselves ready. So let's talk this evening about the sugya of Af Hein Hayu Ba'osa Hanes, a very important sugya not only for Pesach, but for many other areas of halacha and mitzvahs as well throughout the year. So we begin with the Mishnah in Pesachim Daf Tzadi Tesamid Beis, where the Mishnah tells us, Lo Yivchusu Lo Me'arba Kosa Shal Yain. Every individual Jew needs to make sure that they have 4 cups of wine. And the Rishonim there explain in the name of the Medrash that the reason why you have to have 4 cups of wine is based on the comment that we have Arba Lashonos Shel Geula. We have 4 different phrases which highlight the redemption from Mitzrayim, Vehotseisi, Vehitzalti, Vegaalti, Velakachti, and therefore we assume, in order to remind ourselves of that four-phased redemption process, redemptive process that we all underwent, therefore we drink 4 cups of wine. So the Mishnah says everybody has to have 4 cups of wine. Who does everybody mean? So the Gemara later on comments on Daf Kufches Amid Aleph that includes men and women alike. The men are obligated because that's what the Torah says. The Torah tells us that you have to have dalikosas, and women are obligated because Nashim Chayavas Barbarkos Halalu Shafin Hayibosane. What did I just say? Men are obligated because of the Torah? That's not true. Dalikosas is a mitzvah midrabanan. Someone should have stopped me. That's a mistake. Mitzvah midrabanan of dalikosas applies to men as well as to women. Mishum Af Hein Hayibosane. So the Rishonim have a disagreement. What does it mean? Af Hein Hayibosane. They were also included in the miracle. So Rashi explains what it means is, they were the catalyst. They were the major protagonists of the miracle. The reason why we came out of Mitzrayim is Bishchus Nashim Tzidkanius Nigalu Abusenim in Mitzrayim. Rashi says the same applies by Purim. The main protagonist of the story was Esther, and this is why women are obligated to lay in the Megillah on Purim, because Afin Hayibo Sahanes. And this as well as the story by Neres Chanukah as well, that women have an obligation to light Neres Chanukah because they were the main part of the story. They did everything, and therefore we assume women have that obligation. And Tosas disagrees, and he says, what do you mean? The phraseology that the Gemara chooses to use here, Af Hein Hayu Ba'osanes, they also were a part of the miracle, sounds like they're only an afterthought. They're a secondary obligation. Not that they were the main protagonists of the story, not that they were the major reason why we had a redemption, not they're the major acts in the whole process of the redemption that took place, but rather, they were also a part of it. So Rashi and Tosas have this disagreement, however you understand it, we assume that women have an absolute obligation in the mitzvah of Dalet Kosas on Leil HaSeder. What about in other mitzvahs of the night of the Seder? For example, the Chinuch writes in mitzvah Chaf Aleph that women have an obligation just like men do in the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, in the mitzvah of Haggadah on the night of the Seder. Yigadot Elevin Chabayam Ahu is not only an obligation for men, it is an obligation for women as well. Now that's a very troubling Chinuch. That's a very troubling Sefer HaChinuch. I would have said that this should have been a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim only applies one night of the year, the night of Pesach. So I would have said it's a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, which generally assumes that women should not be obligated to perform it. So let's look at the Minchas Chinuch number Beis, where he comments, Davar zeh chidush gadol etzli. I have no idea what the Sefer HaChinuch is talking about. Where does he come off to say that this is a mitzvah that women are obligated to perform? Lama yeh noig mitzvah zubinashim. Why should the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim of Haggadah b'Leil HaSeder apply to the women as well? Kivin davi mitzvah saseh shehazman grama v'nashim peturas. This should fit into the regular category of mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, and we always assume that any mitzvah of that nature, women are not obligated to perform. V'Rambam, and the Rambam says, gabi achilas matzah. The Rambam, by the mitzvah of achilas matzah, kasav mefurish, the Rambam explicitly states, Dinashim Chayabas, that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, Kimavur B'Shas, Abul Khan, but when it comes to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Lo Kasavzet, the Rambam does not say this. So therefore, says the Minchas Chinuch, it would seem to be a clear indication from the Rambam that this is not the same for men and for women, because when women have the obligation, the Rambam clearly states their obligation, but over here, when he talks about the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, he makes no mention of it at all. V'lo Matzah Sizeh B'Shumakum. So now he says, "V'lomer hatam." Maybe you'll say that nashim are obligated because they were also ba'osa hanes. Maybe you'll say women are obligated because they were also a part of the miracle, which is the reason why they're obligated in dalet kosos. Kvar hochicho atosos, says the Minchas Chinuch. Over here, we're talking about the Sefer HaChinuch. What is the job of the Sefer HaChinuch? To enumerate what the mitzvahs HaTorah are, not mitzvahs midrabanan. He discusses the mitzvahs on a biblical level. Says the Minchas Chinuch, you can say that the obligation for women in Haggadah b'Leil HaSeder is because Afein Hayu B'Leil HaSanes, because they were part of the miracle, because that's only a principle of Midrabanan. That's an idea that came along later on. That's not a principle that we find in the Torah. And therefore, if the Sefer Achinuch here is trying to figure out whether Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim fits into the category of, to the list, to the classification of Mitzvahs Midaraisa, how can you say that Dalet Kosos would fit in? After all, Dalet Kosos Midrabanan. And certainly, how can you say over here that Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim fits in if it's only because of Afein Hayu B'Leil HaSanes? Then he goes on to say that the Shagas Aryeh proves that women aren't even obligated in the mitzvah of Kriya Shema by Yom of Alayla. That's also a mitzvah Sasei Shazman Grama. So we assume that if it's a mitzvah Sasei Shazman Grama, says the Shagas Aryeh, women won't have an obligation to say Kriya Shema every day. Says the Menchas Chinuch, if they don't even have an obligation to say Kriya Shema, which is Noeg, every morning, every evening, how can you say they have an obligation to say Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim on the night of the Seder? That's a real mitzvah Sasei Shazman Grama. And therefore he says, he doesn't really understand, and he ends off and he says, look, three lines from the end, Nimkein. Efshar, it could be Davik Zereshava Mikiddush Shabbos. We mentioned last week when we were talking about the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim that the Rambam has a very unclear statement. The Rambam says we have a mitzvah to do Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim the same way we have a mitzvah of Zechar Siyama Shabbos Lekadsho. So what does that mean? You have a mitzvah to do this, a mitzvah to do that. What's the connection between Kiddush and Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim? Says the Menchas Chinuch, maybe the connection is like this, that women have an obligation to say Kiddush on Friday night because Kol Sheyeshna B'Shamar Yeshna B'Zachar. Women have an obligation to fulfill all the mitzvahs Lo Saseh of Shabbos, therefore they have a mitzvah to fulfill all the mitzvahs Haseh of Shabbos as well. So maybe, says the Menchas Chinuch, the same way women are obligated in Kiddush on Shabbos, so too we should extrapolate that they're obligated in the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, and maybe that's what the Rambam means when he says Kiddush has some connection to Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now again, it's a very far-fetched understanding of the Rambam's words, but that's what the Sefer HaChinuch says. I have no way of understanding what the Chinuch means. And then he says, you know, Aval Be'emes B'Shas Tilan Eino Musker, he says, look, you can come up with an understanding in the Rambam, maybe it's what it means, but the bottom line is, our Gemara says nothing of the sort. We never find the source to tell us that women should have a biblical obligation in Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he says, what are you going to lose if the woman gets involved in Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim? What's so bad to say a woman is obligated? What do you lose? What's the problem? Say you're off on the count, you have 614 mitzvahs, big deal. No, what's the problem? Says the Menchas Chinuch, it does leave a problem. Because in some homes, you have only one person says the Haggadah, right? And in some homes, you just have the leader of the Seder is going to recite all the words of the Haggadah, and everybody just pays attention and listens along, different Minhagim. So here, says this Menchas Chinuch, let's say the woman is the one who's going to say all the words. And everyone's going to pay attention to her. She knows how to say the story best. She knows how to explain it better than anyone else at the table. She's going to be the one to say the Tzipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. All of us have an obligation of a level of Daraisa. How can we listen to her? And she's going to fulfill the obligation for us? She can't do it. She's only Chayim Midrabanan. So says the Sefer, says the Menchas Chinuch, don't just say that the women should be machmir anyway and say Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim and don't make an issue of it. It does make an issue. It makes a big difference. Because if she's going to be the one designated to recite it on behalf of everyone else, you're going to end up losing out. So this is a major question. Where does the Sefer HaChinuch get this idea that a woman should be obligated in the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim? And don't tell me that they're obligated because of Afein Hayu B'Leil HaSanes, because that's only rabbinic principle. Here the Sefer HaChinuch is trying to teach us what are the 613 mitzvahs that are on a biblical level, not the rabbinic mitzvahs. And that's why the Prima Gadim has a major suffix, lahalacha, he's not sure whether or not Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim for women is a mitzvah midaraisa or midrabanan. It's discussed as well in the Chayyadam. And the Mishneh Berurah comes to the conclusion that women are only obligated midrabanan in the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore he says we have to be careful that the woman should not be the one to motzi the men who are above bar mitzvah, because they have an obligation on a level of Daraisa, and the woman only has an obligation on a level of Dirabanan. Yeah?
There's a distinction when we use Afein Hayu B'Leil HaSanes with regard to Hanukkah and Megillah, which are only Dirabanan to begin with. By Pesach, Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is at least on a Daraisa level for the man.
Correct.
So to use the Afein Hayu B'Leil HaSanes for the woman, why can't you just say that they're now for obligated in the same Daraisa?
The Chacham can obligate you in a mitzvah deraisa. They can obligate you and say, the same way there's a mitzvah deraisa, you should do it midrabanan. But you do have a good point, and we'll hold on to that distinction for a few minutes, because it is going to make a big difference. Yeah?
What is the significance of like a woman being obligated midrabanan? What's the significance of that? I mean,
whether or not she has to do it?
Well, let's say she has triplets.
Right.
She has newborn babies.
Yeah.
Taking care of them, and she has no time to listen to the seder.
So again, it doesn't mean that you have to. Let's say you have a man who's sick in the hospital and he doesn't have time to be able to say the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So you say Onus Rachmana Patri. If you don't have the ability to do it, say you don't. But it makes a big difference. Let's say very often you have in the middle of the Seder. I remember when I was growing up, my mother would go into the kitchen and prepare something, or somebody needed to go to sleep, or somebody needed an afikoman present or whatever. So she went upstairs to take care of whatever it was. And the rest of the Seder was moving along. And my father always said, no, you can't move along without her. After all, she's obligated in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim also. Either she's obligated biblically or she's obligated rabbinically. But either way, we assume she has an obligation in the mitzvah just like the man does. Therefore, you can't just keep going without her. You have to make sure that she pays attention to everything as well. So that is something to keep in mind that I believe many women are probably not careful about and not aware of. That they also have an obligation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and even if they go into the kitchen, they have to catch up later on when they come back.
But the point is, there could be an undue delay of the Seder, and then you have to eat the upper covenant before.
Okay. So you have to make the calculations and make sure it works out. But strictly speaking, we assume a woman has an obligation. So there is a discussion regarding women's obligation in the three meals on Shabbos. We have an obligation to eat three different meals on Shabbos because the Pasuk says, Hayom, Hayom, Hayom. You have to eat the man today, eat the man today, eat the man today. The Pasuk says three times. So therefore, we assume we have an obligation to eat three meals on Shabbos. Does that obligation apply only to men, or does that obligation apply to women as well? So you would say, that's also seems to be a classical case of mitzvah saseh shas magrama. That's time bound. It only refers to the meals on Shabbos. It doesn't refer to the meals during the week. And generally, we assume that when we have a time-bound mitzvah, women are not obligated to perform those kinds of mitzvahs. So what would you say with regard to that? So all the Shonim agree that women are obligated equally as men in three meals on Shabbos and in Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos. They argue about why it is that women are obligated. But certainly, women are obligated to perform the mitzvah of Shalosh Sudas on Shabbos the same way the men are. So the Ran and the Ramban say, very simple. The reason why women are obligated in the mitzvah of eating three meals on Shabbos is because the same way women are obligated in all the other mitzvahs of Shabbos, because kol sheyeshna b'shamar, yeshna b'zachar, the Gemara tells us, shamar and zachar were said together. And because shamar and zachar were said together, that means that shamar highlights all of the negative commandments of Shabbos. Zachar highlights all the positive commandments of Shabbos. Says the Gemara, anyone who must keep to the negative commandments of Shabbos must also adhere to the positive commandments of Shabbos. And therefore we assume, obviously a woman is not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Obviously she has to keep Shabbos. Therefore that also means she has to make Kiddush on Shabbos. And therefore, say the Rishonim, not only does she have to make Kiddush, but she also has to go ahead and perform all the mitzvahs of Shabbos, which includes the mitzvah of having three meals over the course of Shabbos itself. That's the opinion of the Ran and the Ramban. And Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam says no. We don't say a woman is obligated in all mitzvahs of Shabbos just because of Zachar v'Shamar. The reason why a woman has to eat three meals on Shabbos is because Af hein hayu ba'osa hanes. Women were also part of the experience in the desert when we were provided with the man, miraculous food. Without that, they would not have been able to survive. Without that, they would have died. And therefore, we assume, since the women were equally as involved in the miracle as the men were, therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, women have an obligation to commemorate that miracle. The same way women have to drink Dalet Kosos on the night of the Seder because they were part of the miracle, same way women have to go and light the Hanukkah candles because they were part of the miracle, so too, women have to go ahead and make sure that they eat three meals on Shabbos because of Af Hein Hayu Ba'osa Hanes. And the Aruch HaShulchan points out that because women are obligated, we have to be careful. He says there are many women who are not careful to eat Shalosh Sudas on Shabbos. Many women, say they're too full or they're on a diet or whatever it might be, and they don't want to eat the Shalosh Sudas on Shabbos. Again, it might not mean that they have to wash for the third meal, but at least they have to have something to show that they're having Shalosh Sudas on Shabbos to highlight the fact that they were part of the miracle as well. This is clear in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Tzadi Aleph that women have an obligation equally to men. And because we assume that women are obligated in three meals on Shabbos the same way that men are, Rabbi Kiva Eger writes in a tshuva, what happens on Shabbos if a person benches and you forget to say Ritzeh? What's the halacha? Halacha is clearly you have to go back and bench again. Rav Soloveitchik got a big fancy interpretation of that halacha. He said it doesn't mean that it's like you haven't benched and now you have to go back and do it again. Rav Soloveitchik's real interpretation was that he felt that you say Kiddush at the beginning of the meal and you say Ritzeh at the end of the meal. So you have to bookend the meal to highlight, to show that this meal was Mishum Kedushas HaShabbos. That's the only reason I ate it. Not because I like to eat breakfast, not because I like to eat lunch, not because I like to eat dinner, but rather because today Shabbos obligates me to eat this meal. How am I going to show that what I'm doing right now is Mishum Kavod HaShabbos? By starting off in the beginning of the meal with Kiddush, and by ending off with Ritzeh, Seder of Soloveitchik. If in the end of the meal you forget Ritzeh, really it turns out you haven't been yotze the meal. You haven't been yotze the meal, so really we should have obligated you to go back and eat the whole meal again. The Chachamim were makel on you, and they said you only have to bench again. So sometimes when you sigh, and you say to yourself, oh, come on, I forgot Ritzeh, I have to bench again, the answer is you're lucky. You should have had to really go ahead and make the whole meal over again. Soloveitchik said, the Shulchan Aruch means to say here, we're makel on you, we say, no, we're not going to make you eat the whole meal again, we're just going to allow you to bench again. That should be good enough to make up for the mistake that you had earlier. Now, what about if a woman forgets Ritzeh? What about if a woman forgets to say Ritzeh? Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, since we assume that women are obligated equally as men in the midst of three meals on Shabbos, and part of the obligation of the meal is that you have to say Ritzeh at the end, therefore we assume if a woman forgets Ritzeh v'achalitzeinu on Shabbos, she also has to repeat the benching the same way a man does. So that's a very important nafkamina lahalacha that comes about from this discussion. The Chasam Sofer has what I believe is a very fascinating question where he says, the men are obligated to wear tefillin every day. Why do we have to wear tefillin every day? What does the pasuk say? Ki b'chozek yad etzianu Hashem Mitzrayim. You should put tefillin on your arm because the Ribbono Shel Olam took you out of Mitzrayim many, many, many generations ago, and therefore we have to commemorate that miracle. The Bach even writes, as quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, the Bach writes in Shulchan Aruch, if you don't have in mind the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim when wearing the tefillin, if you don't think explicitly about that, you're not in the kind of the mitzvah. This is one of the places where the Torah says you have to actually have in mind that this is the mitzvah that you're doing, this is the objective of the mitzvah. So says the Chasam Sofer, if women are obligated in the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos on the night of the Seder, because Afin Hayibos HaNeis is to commemorate Yetzias Mitzrayim, and women are obligated in Neres Chanukah, because Afin Hayibos HaNeis, and women are now obligated in the mitzvah of eating three meals on Shabbos, ask the Chasam Sofer, shouldn't women also be obligated to wear tefillin? Because if the whole mitzvah of tefillin is to commemorate the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and if you don't think about Yetzias Mitzrayim when you wear the tefillin, it's as if you haven't performed the mitzvah, ask the Chasam Sofer in a tshuva, we should say, women, afein ha'yibos ha'neis, and therefore women should be equally obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin as men are. Says the Chasam Sofer, nobody says that. He didn't even dawn upon him that anyone would dare to say that nowadays. Of course women are obligated in tefillin, right? Didn't dawn on the Chasam Sofer, because such a thing is against all the Rishonim and Acharonim. So the Chasam Sofer wants to know, why aren't women really obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin? Very good question. So he comes up with a chiddush, and the Chasam Sofer says, no. We have a mitzvah of wearing tefillin. If you ask anybody, why do you wear tefillin every day? What will you say? What? It's an os. What's the os? That Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, right? That's what you say. The pasuk says you should remind yourself that you were taken out of Mitzrayim. No. Says the Chasam Sofer, that's not the objective of tefillin. The objective of tefillin really is, the way the Chasam Sofer says it, is based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Pasuk says, we are in such a love story with the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're in such a loving relationship with Him. Simani kachosem alibecha. Pasuk says, you have put me like a seal on your heart. Kachosem alzroecha. You have put me like a seal, like a chosem, a stamp, thank you, on your arm. Ki aza kamavas ava, because our love for one another is burning. It's like we're just in such a overwhelming relationship with each other. So therefore, you put the seal on your arm, you put it all over the place, and you remind yourself how much love we have for one another. Says the Chasam Sofer, the Chovas HaLevavos explains, what exactly does that mean? Chovas HaLevavos says, when you have people who love each other, I love my wife, so I gave her a ring, that she should always remember, you're married to me. You should remember, we have a relationship, we have a commitment. If you take that ring off, you see, when a woman gets divorced, get rid of that ring. Why do they get rid of the ring? Because that ring highlights the fact that you are committed to this person. Once you're no longer committed to that person, get rid of the ring. It doesn't mean anything to you anymore. Even though it's a diamond ring and it's very fancy, it's a no longer highlighting that sense of feeling that we had for one another. Here, says the Chovas HaLevavos, that's what the tefillin are. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, hold on to a ring. Simani kachosem alibecha. I want you to have something that's going to remind you of the relationship that we have with one another. And not only that, says the Chovas HaLevavos, the Gemara tells us in Brachos, not only do we wear tefillin every day, but the Gemara says the Ribbono Shel Olam himself also wears tefillin every day. Ask the Gemara, what does it say in his tefillin? What does it say in his tefillin? In his tefillin it says the opposite of our tefillin. What does it say in our tefillin? Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKen Hashem Echad, V'ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha. We have the parshiyos of tefillin highlight our love for the Ribono Shel Olam. V'ahavta, V'hayim Shamoa, we write the parshiyos that remind us of our commitment to God. In his tefillin it says, Mikam HaYisrael Goyachad Ba'aretz. Says the Chodesh HaLevavos, that's what tefillin is all about. It's all about showing the relationship, the commitment. It's the diamond ring that the woman wears on her finger to remind her that this is a marriage that we're committed to, this is something that I love, and this is something I'll never go away from. That's what the Ribono Shel Olam wants us to think every time we wear the tefillin. Says the Chasam Sofer, yes, it's true. The tefillin are supposed to remind us of the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim as well, but that's not the main objective of tefillin. While we're in such a rendezvous with the Ribono Shel Olam, while we're having such a loving relationship with Him, when we remind Him of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and we remind ourselves of Ve'ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha, and we remind ourselves of all the important things of how much we love Him, so we throw in there also, by the way, we love You because You took us out of Mitzrayim. That's not the main part of tefillin. That's just an ancillary issue that comes out from tefillin. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, you cannot obligate women to wear tefillin because we assume that that's not the main objective of tefillin at all. And therefore he says, that would remain a regular mitzvah seisha as mangrama, and therefore the pasuk says, women don't have an obligation to wear tefillin every day. I think it's a very important shot of the Chasam Sofer, but based on that he suggests other interesting nafkaminas as well with regard to Kiddush on Shabbos. Let's say, Chasam Sofer writes, the Gemara tells us women have an obligation to make Kiddush on Shabbos. Why? Because kol sheyeshna b'shamar yeshna b'zachar. Anyone who has to keep the negative commandments of Shabbos also has to keep the positive commandments of Shabbos and make Kiddush. So says the Chasam Sofer, why do you have to come up with this fancy idea of kol sheyeshna b'shamar yeshna b'zachar? And that's why women are obligated. Why don't you say afin hayavos anes? And in Kiddush you have to say zechad yitzias Mitzrayim. They were also part of yitzias Mitzrayim, so you should have to say Kiddush. Says the Chasam Sofer, no. The main part of Kiddush is to be mekadesh es Shabbos. Happens to be, along with being Mekadesh Shabbos, we also mention Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim, like we do on many other occasions throughout the year. But you can't obligate women just because it says in their Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's not the main focus of the Kiddush at all. Main focus of the mitzvah is to be Mekadesh Es HaShabbos. You want to obligate women in that, you have to come up with a new source. And that's why the Gemara says women are obligated in Kiddush because Kol Sheyeshna B'Shamar, Yeshna B'Zachar. So that's a important comment to the Chasam Sofer that applies both to Tefillin as well as to Kiddush, but now let's move on with the Gemara's examples. Where else do we find women are obligated in a mitzvah because of this idea of af hein hayu ba'osane? So we had number one, the Gemara says, by Dalet Kosos. Number two, we said the Rishonim discuss, maybe you should say, CPTS Mitzrayim, they should be obligated. That was the discussion in the Sefer Achinuch. We had a third example where the Rishonim discuss, maybe you should say women are obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah. That clearly the Gemara says women are obligated because afin hayibos anes. Then we have the Rishonim discuss lecha mishnah. Maybe the women should be obligated in three meals on Shabbos and lecha mishnah because afin hayibos anes. And finally the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos daf chav gimel that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah because afin hayibos anes. So the Yaderis, just as an aside, the Yaderis was such a genius. His svarim are so fascinating. So the Yaderis writes that he saw in the Chuvas of the Chavos Yar. I didn't have a chance to look up the original Chavos Yar. I trusted the Yaderis. So the Yaderis writes that he saw in a tshuva in the Chavos Yair that he wonders, why does the Gemara have to come onto a whole new idea that women are obligated in the Neiros Chanukah because afin hayibos anes? Why don't you say women should be obligated because of Lo Sasser? Once the Chacham instituted halacha, so now you're bound by keeping to that halacha because the Torah says Lo Sasser min adavar she'agidu l'chal yamin ismol. The Torah says you're not allowed to. That's a lav. That's a Lo Sasser. To go against what the Chacham say is a lav. It's Lo Sasser. Therefore, ask the Chavos Yar, why shouldn't we say that every woman has an obligation to keep a mitzvah midrabanan? Because if they don't keep it, they'll be violating an issa d'araisa. So the Yaderis fights back and he says, what do you mean? From the outset, the Chacham never had the women in mind. The same way we don't have women obligated in mitzvahs midaraisa because of mitzvah seishas mangrama, so we don't have the women obligated in mitzvah midarabanan. Gets into a whole pilpul here, and then the Klichemda wrote back to him, he attacked him, he didn't like what he said. The Aderas made a fancy shtickle Torah based on a lishitasa of Rabbi Shimon Levi, a whole story, and the Klichemda says, you're missing the boat, you didn't see the Yerushalmi. It's a very interesting discussion, not for now, but I think the question is a compelling one. There is a further discussion that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has in the Mincha Shlomo, and other Acharonim before him had it also. The Stechemen has a discussion on the Binyan Shlomo, which is Reb Shlomo HaKohen Milna, has this question as well. When you say women are obligated in the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah, does that mean women are also obligated in Halal on Chanukah? Is the Halal on Chanukah because Chanukah is considered like a Yomtif, or is the Halal on Chanukah because Chanukah is a day of Halav Odah for the Nes? So if you say that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah, maybe you should say also they're obligated in Halal on Chanukah because, after all, Halal was instituted on Chanukah not because of the Kedushas Hayom, like on a regular day, Sukkis and Pesach, we say women are not obligated in Halal. That's because of the Kedushas Hayom of Yomtif. That's a mitzvah Seishas Man Grama. When it comes to Halal on Chanukah, the Achronim discuss, maybe you should say they're obligated because maybe the Halal on Chanukah was really instituted as a commemoration of the miracle and not really as a highlighting the Yom Tov of the day. Anyway, that's a discussion that the Achronim have further. But here, we'll end with, I think, a very important and yesodistic point. And that is that Tosis writes in Maseches Pesachim, Tosis has it in a few other places as well, a very interesting kasha. Tosis wants to know, why are women pater from the mitzvah of Sukkah? We know women are not obligated in the mitzvah of Sukkah. So Tosis wants to know, what? So the Gemara says clearly, women are not obligated. So Tosis wants to know, why are women not obligated in the mitzvah of sitting in Sukkah? After all, why do we sit in the Sukkah? The Gemara says in Sukkah Daf Beis, Kibas Sukkah so shafti b'nei Yisrael b'hiyosam eretz Mitzrayim. This is another example where the Bach writes, if you don't have in mind when you sit in the Sukkah, that the reason why I'm sitting in the Sukkah is because I want to commemorate the miracle that took place so many thousands of years ago as I was coming out of Mitzrayim, I have not fulfilled my obligation. So if that's really what the objective of the mitzvah of Sukkah is, to remind ourselves, Kibas Sukkah so shafti is b'nei Yisrael b'hiyosam eretz Mitzrayim, etzechli tzias Mitzrayim, why don't you say, Afin ha'ibosan neis, and women should be obligated in the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah, because they were also there on the occasion of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And after all, they're obligated in the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos and in the mitzvah of everything else because of Afin ha'ibosan neis. So why shouldn't they be obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah? Yeah.
That means men.
Right. Oh, so we have a pasuk that says. But why don't you say, Tosis wants to know, why don't you at least say maybe midrabanan they should be chayiv, maybe something? Why are they not chayiv?
The Torah says just men.
Right.
You're not
going to make a din derabanan that goes against the pasuk.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Because of tznius.
What's the tznius?
How would it look for a woman if you go to Home Depot, pick up truck, get lumber, and they go on a ladder?
What's wrong with a single woman sleeping in the sukkah?
Dangerous.
That has nothing to do with sneeze. It's just as dangerous for... Okay. I'm not sure that was a consideration. You can figure out how to build a sukkah without violating sneeze.
So what other reason could there be?
That's the kasha. Why aren't women obligated? So you'll say... Simply because the mitzvah says Shas Magram is a time-bound mitzvah. You're only obligated to do it at a certain bracket in the year, and women are not obligated in a time-bound mitzvah.
But the thing with matzah also. So in other words, why are women obligated to eat matzah?
Yeah, so the Gemara says why.
Why they can't, and why they're not obligated to live in a sukkah on the sukkah.
That's the question.
So the question is because there's no problem with sneas baking matzah, but there is a problem with sneas in building a sukkah.
I'm not convinced of that. Why don't you say it's a problem of tznius for them to go to the matzah bakery? What are they doing outside by the matzah bakery?
What do you mean? They bake matzah at home?
Okay, I don't think tznius is the determining factor when it comes to these halachas. Again, tznius is very important, but we can figure out how to send a man to build the sukkah for them if need be.
Yeah, but the point is this. If she doesn't have a husband, if she doesn't have a man, and she wants to fill the mitzvah, so she'll feel she has to be obligated.
I don't know. Okay, so Tosis discusses the issue, and Tosis here writes, look, it's a good question. Why are women not obligated to sit in the sukkah? After all, they should be obligated to sit in the sukkah. It's a mitzvah that we highlight the Yitzias Mitzrayim as well. Basukkah so shafti is b'nei Yisrael b'otzias ha'meretz Mitzrayim. Says Tosis as follows. You know why? Because when it comes to a mitzvah midrabanan, the Rabbanan, the Chachamim, who institute a new mitzvah, can obligate you to do the mitzvah because of Afin Ha'ibos Hanes. So the rabbis came along and said, you know what, we have this great idea. We're going to come up with a mitzvah on the night of the Seder to drink four cups of wine to commemorate the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And you know what? Women are also going to be obligated in this mitzvah because, after all, they were there when they came out of Mitzrayim. So they should also make a commemoration for the miracle. Chacham come along and say, we have this great idea. We're going to have this new mitzvah called Neres Chanukah. And since the women were also part of the miracle, they're also going to be obligated in the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah. But here you have a mitzvah midaraisa. Here you have a mitzvah of Sukkah. And the Torah itself says women aren't obligated. So you can't come along and say, the Chacham are going to obligate you in the mitzvah of Sukkah because of Afei Nari Bosa Neis. This is not a mitzvah midarabanan. It's a mitzvah daraisa.
How about
Sipur? Yeah.
Sipur is
yeah. No, so the Minchas Chinuch says you can't say Afei Nari Bosa Neis. That's why we started with that. Yeah. Teshuva Kain Taduru? That what? So that's a discussion with regard to sleeping in the sukkah. That's a discussion with regard to sleeping. Some say maybe I shouldn't have an obligation to sleep in the sukkah because I don't want to spend a whole week without my wife, and my wife doesn't want to sleep outside, so therefore, Teshuva Kain Taduru. Even that is very questionable. It's not so clear whether or not that's true. But let's say you live in Siberia, right? I mean, not Siberia, it's freezing outside, but you live somewhere where it's cold and uncomfortable, but it's manageable, right? Siberia is probably not so manageable, but you live in Toronto. So my brother tells me Toronto, it's freezing on Sukkot, and sometimes it snows on Sukkot, but it's manageable. So the women probably don't want to have to go into the Sukkot. They're not interested in suffering out in the Sukkot, but the men have an obligation to do it. You don't say, men are putter because I'm so mitzdar. Well, you're so mitzdar when you eat a meal without your wife? I mean, I don't know. Again, you know, we have an obligation to sit in the sukkah. I'm not making light of the fact that we should have a yomtiv meal together. It would be very nice. But again, when you're trying to put all the factors together, I don't know that that would absolve you from the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. So Tosas writes here, the only time we apply the principle of afin ha'yibos ha'neis is by a mitzvah midrabanan. When it comes to a mitzvah midaraisa, afin ha'yibos ha'neis cannot be applied. And why is that the case? Why should that be true? Tosas doesn't explain why that should be true. We have a mitzvah midaraisa to sit in the sukkah.
Right.
We have a mitzvah midarabanan to drink four cups of wine on the night of the Seder. The rabbis who instituted a new halacha of drinking four cups of wine on the night of the Seder, they have a right to say, oh, when we institute our own mitzvah, the women should do it also because they were part of the miracle. After all, the reason we instituted the mitzvah is to commemorate the miracle, and the women were there. However, when you have a biblical mitzvah, we don't have a right to say, oh, more people should be obligated because they were part of the miracle. The Torah didn't say that. So why is that true? Why should we assume this rule only could apply to a mitzvah midrabanan and not to a mitzvah midaraisa? Why can we obligate someone in a mitzvah midaraisa because of afin ha'yibos ha'neis? It makes sense. Torah itself says, Basukas Oshavti is b'nei Yisrael, b'tzias ha'meretz Mitzrayim. Women were there. Yeah, but the Rambam already says, we have a principle of mitzvah seisha asman grama. He says there are more exceptions to the rule than the rule itself. That's what the Rambam says. You know, if I would ask you, there are 240, a lot of women get bent out of shape when you talk about mitzvah seisha asman grama. Well, I'm any less than anybody else. So, I always say, how many mitzvah say are there in the Torah? 248. So we have this category called mitzvah seisha asman grama. May I ask, if you would take a guesstimation, how many mitzvahs are there that fall into this discussion of mitzvah seisha hazman grama that women are not obligated to do? Of the 248, what would you say?
10.
10? Really? That's it? What would you say? Most people, when you ask them, say like 100. Right? And that's why they get bent out of shape. You're going to tell me I'm not obligated in 100 mitzvahs in the Torah? The answer is it's like 6 or 7, maybe. A machlok is about the 8th, maybe. Sviras ha'omer is a machlok is a rishonim. 6, 7, or 8, maybe, altogether. That's the whole discussion. But 242 women are obligated in the same way men are. So again, mitzvah seisha hazman grama is a principle, but the Rambam says there are many more exceptions to the rule than there are the rule itself. So again, in trying to explain why it is that we should assume this principle of afein ha'yibos ha'neis only can be applied to a mitzvah midrabanan and not to a mitzvah midaraisa, we cannot obligate anyone in a mitzvah midaraisa based on the principle of afein ha'yibos ha'neis. Tosis does not explain why that should be the case. Both. Both.
We couldn't say that the tzanis d'oraisa for a man would be an obligation to rabbanon for a woman.
That's the assumption of Tosis here. That's the assumption of Tosis.
Abba Kosis is d'rabbanon?
D'rabbanon. the Rabbanan. It only originated, Abrakosis originates as a din de Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan in the beginning, when they instituted the halacha, said it applies equally to men and to women. What? First is Kiddush. First is Kiddush. Okay. Yeah, that's a shayla. So I think the understanding in this line of Tosas goes as follows. And it really speaks to a larger issue that goes way beyond the discussion of Afen Hayba Osanes. So we look at Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a number of beautiful svarim. One of them is called Beis HaOtzer. You know what's so unfortunate about the Beis HaOtzer? Anyone ever saw the Sefer? Beis HaOtzer is Rabbi Yosef Engel's encyclopedia of Torah topics. So he goes by letters of Aleph Beis. So he has just a bunch of entries, I'll say to her Aleph Beis. And it's only two volumes. And Beis HaOtzer is only two volumes because I think they lost the rest of the manuscript. So it only goes up to like Beis, like a little bit of Beis. Means he had a lot more to say on the rest of the Aleph Beis. And everything that's in there is so amazing. It's like Klali HaShas. So there Rabbi Yosef Engel has in the Sefer Beis HaOtzer, he talks about a very important principle. And he wants to know in the letter Aleph, he has an entry about Isser Gavra and Isser Chepza. That's the entry that he discusses. What does it mean, Isser Gavra? What does it mean, Isser Chepza? Isser Gavra means there's something that I'm forbidden to do. It's not that there's something intrinsically wrong with the item, it's just that I'm not allowed to eat it. Take for example, I happen not to be a Kohen. There's Truma sitting in front of me. Is that an Isser on me, or is that an Isser on the item itself? What would you say? It's an Isser, it would seem to be an Isser on me, because a Kohen can eat it. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with it. Let's say I have a piece of treif meat. What would you say then? That's an Isser Chepza. The meat itself, there's something wrong with it. Why? Because no one's allowed to eat it. None of us are allowed to eat it. It's not just something wrong with me, it's something wrong with the piece of meat. So here he discusses which mitzvahs would be considered an Isser Gavra, which mitzvahs might be considered an Isser Chepza, and what the difference would be. That makes a major difference here. And what we mean by that is as follows. Look what he says. He argues that when it comes to Isurim Dirabanan, when the Chachamim come along and say, you're not allowed to eat Bishalakum. So is Bishalakum, is that intrinsically the food is treif? Or does it mean the food is fine, I'm just not allowed to eat it? Is it an Isser Gavra, or is it an Isser Chetza? What's the difference? What's the difference? This is just semantics. Who cares whether it's an Isser on the piece of food or it's an Isser on me? Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, it makes a major difference. B'mili d'Rabbanan, he argues that all Isurim d'Rabbanan, all rabbinic prohibitions, ein lahem, they don't have the power, mevo ba'atzmius ha'chafetzim l'shanos ha'chafetzim mekafim ha'sheim. When the Chacham came along and said, you're not allowed to eat bishalakim, you're not allowed to eat something cooked by a non-Jew, they don't have the power, they don't have the ability to say, now that piece of food is treif, they can't say that. D'divr Chachamim rak el ha'adam heimanarim. Chachamim can only instruct me as an individual how I should or should not act. Don't eat that piece of meat. Not because it's treif, but because we think you shouldn't eat it. Either they can say, lasos davar, they can tell me, go ahead and light Hanukkah candles, go ahead and observe the mitzvah of drinking the four cups of wine, or they can say to me, lo lasos, abstain from eating the food that's cooked by a non-Jew. Abstain from drinking the milk that's milked by a non-Jew, the chalav akum. V'ha'over al devrayim. Obviously, somebody who doesn't listen to them is considered an avarian v'rusha. Aval ein lahem avo ba'atzmios ha'chafetzim. The rabbis don't have the ability, when they institute a new din d'rabbanan, they don't have the ability to say, that item is treif. So he hasn't yet explained what's the difference. What difference does it make? Difference is going to be as follows. And this made a major difference when I was learning in Eretz Yisrael 10 years ago. So, there was an interesting question that came up. I remember one day Rav Nissen Kaplan came to me on a Sunday morning. He's one of the Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir. Came to me on a Sunday morning. He was all upset at my father. Why was he upset? Because he said he heard that Rav Schechter is in charge of the OU and he makes the psalm for the OU. And how can he give Ashkach on these crackers if they have milk in them and they're milk and crackers? It's against the halacha. So I said, okay, it's a discussion the OU has every couple of years. Somebody brings it up. So I was glad that he brought it up as well. I said, why are you bringing it up now? What just made you curious about this issue? He says, well, we had a Kiddush on Shabbos in Harnof. He lives in Harnof. And he said, the minig in Harnof is not like here. When we have a Kiddush here, you got to blow out all this money to make a fancy Kiddush for everyone. When they have a Kiddush in Harnof, all the neighbors bring over all the different items. They make a Kiddush in the house. That's it. So he says, one neighbor decided to bring over chopped liver, and one neighbor decided to bring over crackers. The crackers happened to be the OU crackers that were milchiks. And the neighbor brought over those crackers, not in the box. They brought them over already made out in a tray very nicely. And the other neighbor brought over the liver. And they served the liver together with the crackers. Turns out everybody ate milchik crackers with the liver right on top of it on Shabbos by the Kiddush. And they found that after Shabbos when they were cleaning up, and they brought the box of the original neighbor who had made the beautiful platter, they brought the box to put everything away. It turned out crackers and milchiks, and Nissen Kaplan was going crazy. So he came over to me to discuss it, and he said, look at the mikshel, the OU, look what they're doing, how can you do such a thing? Okay, major discussion. I said to him, so what do you want to do now? He says, now everybody has to do tshuva, we have to hang up signs all over our nof, that oh, everybody ate treif, and everybody was eating basar b'chalav. I said, look, at worst, what did they violate? At worst, what did they violate? Basar b'chalav on a biblical level, or basar b'chalav on a rabbinic level? Rabbinic. Basar b'chalav midaraisa is what? Only if you cook the meat and milk together. If you eat actual milk and meat together in your mouth at the same time. Not crackers that maybe have a derivative of milk. We're talking about if you go ahead and eat real milk and real meat together that weren't cooked together, it's only nisa d'rabbanan. It's not a nisa d'raisa. It's a rabbinic prohibition. So I said to him, at worst, what did they do? Even if you assume that there's milk in the crackers, which there isn't. There's a derivative of something of milk, so they write OUD, but there really isn't. But even if there would be, what would they violate? Anissa Durabanan. Were the people violating it Bishogig or Bemezid? Bishogig, they had no idea. Nobody intended to do the Avera. So over here, Rabbi Yosef Engel argues, when you violate an Isser Durabanan Bishogig, do you have to do tshuva for that? Why not? I did an Avera. If you eat poison mistakenly and you die, is there any making up for that mistake that you did? You're dead, right? It's not my example, it's what the Achronim say. I forgot, I took the wrong medicine, I took the wrong pill, I happened to kill myself. It was a mistake, I didn't mean to do it on purpose. Well, too bad, you're no longer here. So, if I went ahead and I ate the treif item, even if I did a peshogeg, I ate the poison. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, not true. It depends whether we're talking about an Isser D'Oraisa or an Isser D'Rabbanan. If you're talking about an Isser D'Oraisa, which is an Isser Chefza, intrinsically, this piece of meat is treif. It's non-kosher animal. You go ahead and you eat the piece of chazer, the piece of pork. We assume whether you do that b'shogeg or b'mezid, that is an Isser Chefza. There was something wrong with it. You swallowed a pill of poison. What does it matter if you're b'shogeg or b'mezid? You need to do tshuva. You did something wrong, whether you intended to do it or not. But by Yisurim D'Rabbanan, where we assume that the whole power of the Chacham is only not to invest this food and say that now it's no longer considered to be kosher, now the food is treif, no. All the Chacham did is said, you, Shechter, are not allowed to eat that item of food. So now if I go ahead and I eat it b'shogeg, did I violate anything? I didn't do anything to go against what the Chacham told me to do. I had no idea I was doing anything wrong. And I didn't eat the poison, because after all, it's not poison. The only time they argue that you violate an Isser D'Rabbanan is when you go ahead and you do something with intent to violate that which the Chacham told you not to do. And there lies the difference between an Isser D'Rabbanan and an Isser D'Oraisa. An Isser D'Oraisa is an Isser Chefza. It's like a piece of poison. Whether you do something b'shogeg or b'mezid, we assume you have to do tshuva for it. When it comes to an Isser D'Rabbanan, we assume no. Only if you do it b'shogeg, only if you do it b'mezid with intent do we say you have to do tshuva and it's considered to be a terrible avera. But if you only violate the avera b'shogeg, we say since it's only an isser gavra, which is just an isser on me to do an activity, I didn't really do the activity. I had no intent to violate that at all. Yeah?
I don't know why this matters, but would that mean that anytime that you violate an isser de rabbanan of whatever nature that is, you're always violating the same isser, which is not listening to the rabbanan as opposed to
That's correct. That's a major discussion in the Achronim. Do you say that Isurim are Isur Klali or Isur Prati? Let's say by Lifnei Iver L'Sitei Michshol. That's where it makes a big nafkamina. Do we say, let's say, if I put something in front of somebody else, do I violate the Isur of Lifnei Iver or do I violate the Isur which they're about to violate? So let's say, for example, we have some Isurim which are Yaharag Val Yaver. So if I set up someone to violate that Isser, am I in violation of the Isser of Yaharag Val Yaver, or am I in violation of the Isser of Lifnei Iver L'Sitei Michshol? Whatever, we have all kinds of very serious examples of that kind of idea of Isser Klali or Isser Prati. This is one of those cases as well. Basically, what we assume is, all Isurim D'Oraisa are some way put into the Bria. It's metaphysical. We assume it's part of our world that we live in. This is a piece of poison because the Torah said it's poison. Okay? So if we assume that that understanding is correct, now think about a Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi writes as follows. Pasuk says, Bavurzeh asa Hashem li betzeisi mimitzrayim. What does that mean? Because of this, God performed the miracle of taking me out of Mitzrayim. What's because of this? Rashi says, Bavurzeh. Ba'avur sha'akayim mitzvosav. In order that later on I will be able to perform the mitzvah, therefore Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. Does that make sense? Ask the Beis HaLevi. If you'll ask anybody, why did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim? You'll say, because we were being oppressed, because we were suffering, because we were being killed, we were being destroyed, annihilated. So He decided to take us out of Mitzrayim. And because He took us out of Mitzrayim, therefore we have a commemoration now of eating the matzah, of eating the mar. But that's not what the pasuk says. What does it say? Ba'avur zeh. Because there would come a day when you would eat the matzah mar, therefore Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. It's backwards, says the Beis HaLevi. What does that mean? The pasuk is backwards. That's not really true. This is not why we came out of Mitzrayim. This is why we commemorate the coming out of Mitzrayim. This is how we commemorate it, with the matzah and the mar. So what does the pasuk mean? Says the Beis HaLevi. Pasuk also says, by Yitzias Mitzrayim, by Yelfu HaSabatzek, and they were running out of Mitzrayim, and there was no time, so it turns out that the bread turned into matzah. That's what the pasuk says. That was the story. And yet, when the Torah records the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, what does it say? Shivas yamim matzos tochelu. Ushmartem es hamatzos. You should make sure to eat matzah during the 7 days of Pesach. Ki be'etzem hayom hazeh hotzisi eschem. Al tzivosechem eretz Mitzrayim. Because on this day I took you out of Mitzrayim. Says the Beis HaLevi, you should eat matzah because I took you out on this day. What? What's going on here? Took you out of Mitzrayim because you're going to eat the matzah. I ate the matzah. What are you talking about? What was the story? That was just incidental. We ended up having matzah because we didn't have time to bake it. So what's going on here? What is the mitzvah? What is the sivav, he writes, and what is the mesovid? What is the cause and what is the effect? What causes, what is the catalyst, and what is the outcome? Writes the Beis HaLevi as follows. The Torah, as we know, preceded the world. The Torah was given to the world for the world to be a perfect place. And therefore he says we have 365 mitzvahs lo sasei, we have 248 mitzvahs sasei. That is the way God decided the world can become a perfect world. In fact, the Gemara tells us that the Malachi Asharis asked the Ribbono Shel Olam, Mali Yeluda Isha, why are you giving the Torah to a human being, to a mortal, to Moshe Rabbeinu? Don't you know the Torah has been around for 974 generations before a human being was even created? So the Torah was around way before the world was created. Says the Beis HaLevi, so what happened here? The mitzvah of matzah was around before Yetzias Mitzrayim? What does that mean? What was the significance of matzah before there was a story of Mitzrayim? What was the significance of the mitzvah of maror before there was a Mitzrayim? What was the mitzvah of Yigalat Elip? What happened? How did all this come about? If we had all the Taryag mitzvahs before the world was created and before history played itself out, so then how exactly do we understand what these mitzvahs are all about? Says the Beis HaLevi, you're mixing up. The world was around at some point. The Torah was created way before the history of the world played out. But you know why the history of the world played out the way it did? Because God wanted to put meaning into the mitzvah of matzah. God decided there's importance of having the mitzvah of matzah performed every year in the mitzvah of maror. How are we going to make that mitzvah meaningful? We're going to put the Jews into Mitzrayim. We're going to go through the whole story. We're going to have Yetzias Mitzrayim. They're going to turn out not being able to bake the bread. And now, every year after that, they're going to be able to perform the mitzvah of matzah, and it's going to mean something to them. Says the Beis HaLevi, you got it all wrong. You thought the reason we eat matzah is because we came out of Mitzrayim? Wrong. The reason we eat matzah is because the Torah says, eat the matzah. In order to put meaning into that mitzvah, the Torah now said later on in history, oh, I'm going to send you down to Mitzrayim, and everything played out the way it played out. But the Sivuv and the Mesovev are all mixed up, says the Beis HaLevi. Because the mitzvahs that the Torah itself obligates us to do are like an Isser Chepza. It's in the Bria. It's part of our world. The mitzvah of matzah was here way before history came along. And therefore, I believe if you assume that this Beis HaLevi is correct, you can read it on your own. I don't have time to go through it. But if you believe that the Beis HaLevi is correct, it makes sense what Tosa says. How come the Chachamim can come along and say, we're going to institute a new mitzvah in Ha'ibos Anes? We want you to drink 4 cups of wine on the night of the Seder to commemorate the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We want you to light Neros Chanukah to commemorate the miracle of what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. That makes sense. Why can't we say women should be obligated in the mitzvah of Sukkah Because of Afen Hayavos Hanes, what's the answer? The mitzvah of Sukkah was here way before the miracle happened. Mitzvah of Sukkah was here way before Mitzrayim came along. So if the Torah itself from the outset said, I'm going to give you a mitzvah of Sukkah, and the mitzvah of Sukkah is something only men are obligated to do and not women, how can the Chacham come along later and say, no, that's not what the Torah meant? Torah really meant because Yetzias Mitzrayim, so therefore, what do you mean? No! Yetzias Mitzrayim only came to give meaning to Sukkah. Sukkah was there way before Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, I believe that's what Tosas means. When it comes to a mitzvah midaraisa, you can't say, Afen Hayavos Hanei should obligate me in the mitzvah, because the mitzvah was along, was in the world way before this whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim ever took place. I think that's the pshat. And with this, I think you can also understand the Beis Yosef. And with this, we'll close. The Beis Yosef writes, why is it that we only find the mitzvah of Sha'as HaNisim by mitzvahs midirabbanan? When do we make a Sha'as HaNisim? Neir is Chanukah. We make it, what? We make it by Megillah. How come we don't make it also on the night of the Seder? Why don't we make it before we eat the matzah? Why don't we make a Sha'as HaNisim also by those kind of mitzvahs? So, some Achronim say, that's what we're supposed to have in mind when we say Asher Ga'alanu. Asher Ga'alanu is like the Sha'as HaNisim, just in a different format, but it's the same objective, it's the same idea. But others say, no, the priest writes in the name of the Maharil, that the reason why we don't say Sha'as HaNisim is because Sha'as HaNisim is only recited on a mitzvah midirabbanan, not on a mitzvah midaraisa. Why? It doesn't explain why that should be true. Why don't you say Sha'as HaNisim on a mitzvah which commemorates a nes, a miracle that happened, even if it's a biblical mitzvah? The answer is no. The Beis Halevi is correct. The mitzvah was here way before the miracle took place. The mitzvah of matzah was here whether you like Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim or not. Whether there would have been a history of Yetzias Mitzrayim or there wouldn't have been, we would have been obligated in the mitzvah of matzah, we would have been obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah, and therefore maybe that's the reason why we don't say Sha'as HaNisim on these mitzvahs midaraisa, because the mitzvah midaraisa would be there anyway. It would have been there regardless of whether or not we had the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we would have been obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah, we would have been obligated in the mitzvah of matzah. And therefore the Beis Yosef makes sense. Why do we not say Sha'as HaNisim by these mitzvahs? Answer is, because on a mitzvah midaraisa, it doesn't make sense to say Sha'as HaNisim. The crux, the focus of the mitzvah is not because of the miracle that took place, but rather because we have an absolute mitzvah that the Torah instructed us to do with or without the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So mitzvah Shem next week, we will continue.